pray. And we have a great example in Christ who prayed and prayed and prayed. Early in the morning, the scripture says, he got up to pray. Before his death on the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. We thank you, Lord God. We just thank you for our Savior, who by his example, we too must pray. Pray for ourselves, Lord God. Pray for our families and our loved ones. Pray for our nation. Pray for the world. Pray, Lord God. Pray without ceasing. Pray as if our life depended on it, because our life does depend on it. And so, Lord God, now as we gather here as a church, Hicksville United Methodist Church, I ask you, Lord, as we look towards opening in July, God, I ask you, Lord, by your mercy, to grant us grace, Lord God, that when we open and we gather those who will be gathering here, that you will cover us, Lord. Protect us under the blood of Jesus Christ. And let no harm come near this dwelling or harm come near any of our members or visitors who come. Guide us, Lord God. We are trusting in you, Lord God. And Holy God, now take hold of me, the preacher, for this moment, your servant, Lord God. And put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. And you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. And so today, our text, the sermon text is from, the title of my sermon is Radical Hospitality. Radical Hospitality. It is an unusual word to use, radical, isn't it? Because radical is been used to mean so many different things. But Jesus will be talking about being really radical. And so we want to let me first begin with a reflection. And the writer says, this reflection is titled, Touching Jesus. Touching Jesus. And the writer says, some years ago, David Robinson, who plays basketball in San Antonio, visited our church. He's not a member of our church, but he shows up occasionally. You can imagine the stir that occurred when that 7-foot striking fellow walked into the auditorium. We have 2 worship services, and he came at the first one. At the end of it, people mobbed him. Kids all wanted his autograph. Dads lined up, allegedly, to get things signed for their kids. But we all knew the truth. The brouhaha finally settled down, and David went his way, and we began our second service. In the second service that day, I was standing to do the announcements, says the writer, when something happened that has never happened since. A homeless person walked in the back of the auditorium, came down the center aisle with his backpack, ratty jeans, torn t-shirt, unshaven face, and distinct odor. He walked down to the front and sat down. The contrast struck me. When David Robinson entered, he was immediately swarmed by people. People wanted to touch him and to be close to him, to be next to him. However, I am sad to say that nobody jumped up to run and sit next to the homeless man. After 2 or 3 awkward minutes, during which I was trying to act like nothing was happening, one of our elders got up from his seat and sat by the man and touched him. I was struck. Wouldn't you Wouldn't you have been as well? The message that I received in my heart was that morning was, which of these men do you think touched Jesus? If you want to touch Jesus, whom do you touch? Jesus says, whatever you have done for the least of these, my brethren, my brothers, and my sisters, you have done it also to me. Radical hospitality demands that we come out of our comfort zone. We reach out and touch the untouchable, the seemingly untouchable. Because those who we think are untouchable comes in the form of Jesus Christ. Radical hospitality. Radical means if something is considered extremist or very different from anything that has come before it, it is called radical. See, when you do something that is kind of out of the norm, out of what you're used to always doing, the way we always doing it, it becomes radical. Radical is not a word that has been taken over now by modern culture. Somebody is doing something on the street, we don't like, we say, oh, they're radicals. No, radical means, radical has a good meaning. That means when you're breaking down barriers or when you're changing things that have been doing the same old way. That has not been working, radical. That's what radical means. And hospitality is the friendly and generous reception of guests, visitors or strangers, right? The generous, that generous kind of welcome that you give to strangers, not your friends, not just your members of your church speaking or your family, but that you give to whom? Strangers. In Matthew 10:4-42, a very small text, you've heard it read, Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Right? He's speaking about the prophets. He says, who are the disciples? Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of that righteousness. Jesus wants to know. Then he gets to the line that I want to focus on. He says, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. A cup of cold water. Jesus is making it so simple that we are supposed to offer hospitality to God's disciples, Jesus' disciples who were sent. If you look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, it is all about sending the disciples. It's all about the disciples going forth in Matthew chapter 10. That is what it's about. It's about calling them and sending them. And Jesus is now speaking to disciples and all those who are here. When my people were called and sent, if you treat them well, you're treating me well. And then it extends to that we should be treating each other well. In the ancient world, identity was tied to family and community. It was understood that in showing hospitality, one welcomed not just an individual, but implicitly the community who sent the person and all that they represent. When you welcome an individual, you welcome that community. Therefore, welcoming a disciple of Jesus would mean receiving the very presence of Jesus himself and the one who sent him, God the Father. Do you know that every person that we see that probably don't look like us, don't dress like us, is not from our social status, do you know that they all represent the presence of Jesus? If they believe in Jesus Christ, do you know that God made them all in his own image? Mm-hmm. You know, Christian is called, we're called to an eye. You know, the image of God is an amazing, diverse image, isn't it? The image of God himself. Because we're all made in the image of God, the scripture said. The disciples are to act as envoys of Jesus, extending his ministry, proclaiming the same good news, and proclaiming the same good works of healing that Jesus has been doing. So this kind of hospitality demands that we want, that we go beyond what we normally do and remember to offer whatever we can to somebody else. And when we do it, radical means, you know, sometimes there are folks who offer to someone something and it's a grudge. It becomes, I'm just doing it because it's a moral good. I'm doing it because I want to check off that moral thing, right? I want to check off that I've done that moral thing. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. It's by doing it and not just to check it off. Have you ever received service from anyone and you know that it was different? Have you ever called up on the phone or gone to a doctor's office and you could tell the difference of how that person received you? Right? How that person spoke to you when you walked in. Right? How they welcomed you. Simple from their voice. You knew that you're not a bother to them. That they really want to help you. Jesus' further instruction made clear that the disciples are also to share in his poverty and homelessness, taking with them no money or extra clothing and depending solely on the hospitality of others. Jesus was telling the disciples that it may not be easy for you. This is not going to be easy, but I want you to understand that I am sending you. Now, when Jesus sends people in our midst, we need to, you see, someone may come and don't look the way we think they ought to, and they could be what? Sent by Jesus to attest just for us. We could just be entertaining angels among us. Sent by Jesus. Right? Because Jesus is going to send folks into our midst that is not all dressed up in a suit, that is not all dressed up in a lovely dress, but come among us to see if we're going to pass this test. He said, the church of Jesus Christ is sent by God. Jesus sends his disciples to participate in his mission of proclaiming in word and deed the good news of God's kingdom joy near. We, the church, are now the disciples or the apostles sent by God, by Jesus Christ. We are the church. Jesus is no longer walking the earth. Each and every one of us, and I don't mean the church building, I mean we, the church, the ecclesia, we, the individuals, we are the church. And we are now his apostles on the earth. Our disciples, some of us are still under teaching, but we are now sent by Jesus into the world, into our community, to show people love. We have got to get to a place from refraining, as Christian believers, of joining in the negative fray. Because we're Christians. How many times I have to control my thoughts and myself when I see Christian believers write things and say things on Facebook that I know if God was speaking, he would say to them, if he was speaking to them and they were listening, stop it, you don't have to join in. Maybe you could just put a good word. How about just putting something good? Showing a different kind of hospitality. There is simply no other way to be church. This understanding is being recovered in our own day with the missional church movement. We as church have to always look for ways of doing something new and different in the name of Jesus Christ so that we could take care of God's people. Friends, there is a growing awareness that mission is not just a program of the church. It is that each and every person in the church is called to be in mission with the world. Each and every one of us is called to be in our own mission with the world as a Christian believer. That is what Matthew 25 reminded us. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was without clothes and you clothed me. I was in the hospital and you came to visit me. I was in the prison and you came to see about me. That's what Jesus was saying.
Amen.
He wasn't saying that we are supposed to be judging those in the prison, why they went there, why they didn't, that they did that. Because guess what? They're already paying their, whatever they did, they're paying the time. Some of them are paying time for more than what they did. But that's beside the point. We are going to visit them. This is what it means, gee. We are now the church of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who are called and sent to go forth and do by Jesus. Let me just give you an example. And I don't like to say things that, you know, I don't want to have to always pat ourselves on the back. Because you pat yourself on the back too much, you know what happens, right? You bruise yourself. And then you do nothing else. Right? You gotta make sure that you know what you're doing. And you know you're doing it to glorify God. And you keep asking God, God, what can I do? What more can I do? Because all of us have opportunities. We've seen it in the nation now with what's going on with the food insecurity. We've seen as all of this is that's going on under the pandemic, how many people are struggling to just have food. And we have seen, I saw a story where there was a man, a farmer in Iowa, who was throwing away tons of potatoes and milk because it cannot be distributed. And it came on the news, and David Muir from Channel 7 announced it. And guess what? People were watching, and a whole group of young folks I forgot the company's name, that bring young folks together. A lot of them are young, college and high school. And they got together and made this chain of distributing this food with trucks and so, going to this farmer's farm and distributing it throughout the nation. Over 3 million pounds of food distributed. Something new. The farmer said last week on the news, he said, I am so blessed that instead of wasting this food, that I could give it out to somebody else. Thinking outside of the box, finding ways to take care of God's children. We see it all over. In our little church here, we don't have the volume of the resources, but what we do have is the heart. And God will do the rest. When the time the pandemic came and we looked at whether we would keep our food pantry open or not, because you know where our food pantry is served. It is in close quarters, right? For those of you who know, very close quarters. If you turn around, you could kiss the next person behind you. When you're downstairs, you know, you just have to walk 2 minutes. And we could have closed down. Could have closed down because it started out being like too much work and a lot of thought. A lot of thought, simply just to do what we're doing. So when Zam said, what should we do, Pastor? Should we close or not close? And she says, I have an idea, and I'm trying to think, which window of the church can we serve through? I didn't know if I was going to have Zam slide up and hang out through the window. Didn't know what we were going to do. And I've run hold her at one hand. We couldn't figure it out. But God, because God saw our heart, I knew that we wanted to do something radical, right? We started thinking. First, I thought one window downstairs, and then we thought about. Then finally, through the Holy Spirit leading, we decided that we could together put in our heads, not knowing. We had to work out the mechanics. It took a while. And Zamzam and those team, we got Zamzam and Ron and Angel and Deanna is now very involved, and Joan and whoever could help, Joan Canny, folks and Missy's on the phone. I have taken so much calls from people calling for me to find Zamzam. They need a bag of food. But we came up with a new way. It is more work for us. But they have come up, led by Zamzam and the team, to pack these bags. It's like a 3-day marathon now, to pack these bags, to get them upstairs, to lay them out. And now we are doing it through the window of the church. Bags, chairs outside, we lay the chair, the people line up in the parking lot. It has not been easy. We could have just walked away and just says, why bother? But God said no.
Amen.
Radical. We became a little bit radical. It's the same thing happened with our immigration ministry. There are a lot of undocumented children, innocent, honest kids. And there is our immigration ministry with Samantha coming in. They're doing things on Zoom, figuring out to continue the cases, to hear them. We have been working through this pandemic in every area we can. Why? Because we are the church called and sent by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the church of Jesus Christ cannot just sit and be comfortable. I want to just read this one other hospitality. It's called, this other reflection called Everyday Compassion. The writer says that Chicago-based newspaper Streetwise is sold by homeless people who collect a portion of the proceeds. One day, the writer says, I walked to work. As I walked to work, I passed a Streetwise vendor. It was a bitterly cold January morning, and I'd already stopped by Starbucks and paid more than $1 for a measly cup of coffee. We know in Connecticut, in Ixville here, it's like $4. Feeling noble, I struggled to find my wallet, reached in, and took out $1. The homeless woman asked, do you really want the paper? Or can I keep it to sell to someone else? Keep the paper, I replied. Then I added, how are you today? I am so cold, she said. And I said, the writer said, I hope the sun comes out. It warms up and you have a good day, I told her as I turned and walked away. He says, I continued with the cup of coffee warm in my hand. About half a block later, the conversation finally registered in my mind. I wrestled for a moment with what I should do, but I was late, so I kept walking. Ever since, I've regretted not giving her a cup of hot coffee in Jesus' name. All she wanted was a cup of hot coffee. And he said to her, I hope the sun comes out and keep you warm. Friends, we who are believers have to look for the opportunity to serve God's people. You see, Romans tells us that we're slaves of righteousness. We're slaves of righteousness. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should be slaves of righteousness. We should seek to do what is right in the name of Jesus. Slaves of righteousness, aren't we? We have become slaves. He says, when we were slaves of sin, we were free in regard to righteousness. So now that we have become what? Slaves of righteousness, we must seek Christ. Do what Christ has called us to do. He says, because now we have the advantage. We have been what? We have the advantage. We have been what? Changed. And we have the hope of eternal life. So because now we are slaves to righteousness, righteous people always seek the higher ground. That's what Paul is telling them as I summarize that. The higher ground. Fred Craddock, who's now home to be with the Lord, brilliant, brilliant orator. He says, you know, he said to a group of pastors once being consecrated and lay people, he says, do you think following Jesus is easy? He says, do you think just saying, oh, yes, Lord, I want, when you're being consecrated as a pastor, I want to follow you, Jesus. Do you think it's easy? He says, do you think it's, some of us think it's like putting $1,000 bill on the table and say, here it is. I've laid my life out to you. I'm giving you my thousand, my best. He says, no, no, no. Here's what Jesus does. Jesus tells us, after we lay that $1,000, he tells us to take the $1,000 and take it to the bank. And when we take the $1,000 to the bank, we what? We divide it into quarters. Into quarters, he says. He says, he says, but the reality is, for most of us, is that he sends us to the bank and has us cash the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Listen, we do that by listening to the neighbor's kids who are in trouble. That could be 25 cents. Instead of saying, get lost. We go to the committee meeting of the church. We give a cup of water to a shaky old man or woman in a nursing home. That is 50 cents. He says, usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It is done in giving all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory, but it's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Fred, he was a brilliant storyteller. He's in glory now talking to Jesus. I've heard him so many times. And I thought about that little reflection at the end. This is what it's about. 25 cents at a time. Saying a good word to someone. Giving them a bag of food. Praying for them. Visiting them at the hospital. It may not make the front page of the newspaper. It may not be on television. But is those simple acts of love. Simple acts of love that God demands of each and every one of us. That's radical, you know. That's radical. Because it's easier to put our $1,000 down and run away. But it's much harder to keep each time taking care of somebody's need. May you hear that these words this morning, church. And friends who are watching, may you hear that each and every one of you and me, each and every one of us, God has called to be his church, to be his disciples, to be his followers through Jesus Christ, to change the world through radical hospitality. Amen.
Amen.